Bruce Van Dyke, along with Susie Peters. Also Craig Adams here this morning. But joining us as we continue the hour talking about the outdoors. I like being indoors talking about the outdoors.
I don't know. It looks pretty good out there today.
Well, yeah, that's true. We have Byron Scarborough, who is with us today, Elyria native, who is also a writer, outdoors writer in the outdoor section, a new section in the Chronicle. It's the outdoor page. Today it's on C10 of the Chronicle Telegram. They also have, as it is now, more things on the website, the Chronicle website, chronicletea.com. There's an outdoor link, which has the articles from the section here, as well as more recipes than you can count. And I guess that's a lot of times people wonder, well, okay, I've gone out hunting. I got my prize. What do I do with it? Besides, you know, some people, they may be mounting this or displaying this. By the way, the taxidermy thing is a whole new thing I got introduced last year, and is I'm amazed at how that whole process works.
Well, are you ready to take a home study course now?
Well, I don't know. I learned that the fish aren't really the fish, right?
Right, right.
The fish that you see on the wall are not the fish.
Yeah. What do you mean?
Can you kind of explain?
Well, you're pretty much looking at anymore a fiberglass representation of the fish.
What?
Well, you think about what there is to a fish as meat goes, and that's just not something you can put on the wall. So what they've cooked up is a plastic
cooked
representation.
Up.
Oh, not cooked, but, you know.
So they're plastic.
Yeah,
pretty
much.
It's a representation.
Right, but
right.
They have the fish, a picture of the fish, and I guess the artist will then create that same fish into this.
Now, is this only with fish?
Pretty much.
Okay.
Well, you know, you're not looking at the real deer up there. There's a skin which is stretched on a mold and fastened up on the
wall. If you want your deer to kind of look to the side or straight up ahead or however it was, there's sort of like a mannequin, as it were, of that, and then the skin gets sort of stretched over that.
Right.
Wow, I had no idea.
And then they have to search, what color eyes did it have?
Oh, yeah.
And how is the texture? And then they do, obviously, the artistry involved with making it sort of have the realism to certain parts of it. So,
the story behind the story.
ChronicleTea.com. I learned all this from Science Week at my daughter's school. They had somebody there from Miller's Taxidermy.
Impressive.
Oh. So who was there? So that, and she's like, "Dad, let's go. We got to go make that goo with that paste and that stuff, you know."
To do the paper mache.
There's other stuff going on, but that was the part that was fascinating me. So the outdoors has a lot of different aspects to it, and a lot of creativity that goes into that, including photographs. Talk a little. Do you do photographs yourself or?
Well, the photos that are featured on the page are Tom Malls, and he's been a photographer for a long time, and Tom has a long list of accomplishments. I have to refrain from calling him Dr. Tom Mall. He's a PhD and teaches at Lorain County Community College, too. Tom has been a fantastic photographer for the Chronicle for many years, and now he's doing this project for us, so I can't even begin to claim credit for the photography, the wonderful photography that goes on the outdoor page. But I do, you know, I always have a pocket camera with me. I'm always grabbing a picture of that unexpected wildlife you were talking about, the birds that creep in, the critters that you see that you weren't anticipating.
I suppose when you go out for that experience, you kind of absorb it, be a part of it. You're an observer as well, so you're either going to take a photograph. Maybe you actually have something that you've been able to, kill, bring back with you. But you also like to put it into words. And part of what you do for the Outdoors page is provide a lot of the text, the stories to it. Can you kind of give us a little sense of that? Maybe take us through some of your little writings?
Sure. Let me just show you what you'll find this morning in the Chronicle. It's just before 7 in the morning. I'm sitting on a milk crate in a millet field. The taste of my coffee tells me either my kitchen skills are lacking or I should have washed the thermos better after my last fishing trip. The air is damp, my feet are wet, it's just now light enough to see, and there is nowhere else I would rather be than in this field waiting on the morning doves to start flying. And you know, Bruce, that's the truth. When I'm out in nature, there is nowhere else I'd rather be, despite the cold and the dark and the trouble of getting up at 4 in the morning to do these things.
You've talked earlier how you've been doing this most of your life. Where did you get that patience that's needed for some of this?
I was telling someone the other day, there's so much commercial-driven outdoors gear right now. And someone said, what's the best camouflage pattern that they have right now? I see all these Mossy Oak and Advantage and all these things. And I said, well, my grandfather hunted in a red plaid coat. You know, he took a lot of game that way. The best camouflage pattern is what Fred Bear called sit down and shut up. So having patience, after 20 minutes of being quiet in the wild, you'll see the animals start to forget about you and they come out. It's the number one tactic.
See, but I'm thinking if I sat there for 20 minutes, after about 15 or even longer than that, I'm thinking, I can't feel my foot. What's sticking in my backside over here? I mean, is that just stuff you get used to, or is there kind of tricks and comfort things that you can...
Oh, it's still there. I mean, anyone who's ever been in a cold duck blind and can't feel his feet, feels himself stamping, you know, up and down, thinking, what can I do? Maybe if I just flex my toes for another 25 minutes, that'll help. There are a lot of advantages we have these days. There are things like snowmobile suits that have electric coils and a 12-volt battery that you put in them now. There's almost no reason to be cold if you want to go out to those extremes. But
sometimes I think if you have a big wallet, it doesn't necessarily mean it is as much enjoyment as you can going out.
Right. I'd go out there in my pajamas if I could. It's no, sitting down and being quiet is just part of the game, and I guess it's a discipline after a while. We find ourselves a breed apart with the guys who sit there and just move our eyes. Don't even, you know, move your head. Try to control your breathing. And when you have your intended game come in front of you that day, if you're in a deer stand or sitting in a turkey blind and that animal shows up, it's like having a heart attack. You're just doing everything you can to control all those impulses physically that are coming out there. You may be sweating your eyes. Your feet might be freezing. You have to hold a position for a long time. That's just part of the pursuit.
Has there been times when you've been out there thinking to yourself, what have I gotten myself into?
Oh, no, I've never goofed up before. I'm perfect. Oh, yeah, all the time. It still happens. But one of the great things about the more time you spend in the outdoors, the more confidence you get in it. And I'm pretty confident there's nothing I can't handle anymore.
When you are in the outdoors, how do you know you're on where you're supposed to be? In other words, am I on private property all of a sudden? I follow some trail. I'm looking through some, you know, follow a little bit of a stream or something. How does that all get planned into place? And maybe now with a GPS, it's a little different. But I wonder, sometimes once you head into an area, you're thinking, where am I? How do you keep yourself safe that way?
I carry a GPS. I don't turn it on most of the time. I seldom go into the woods with a compass bearing. And I have to be honest to say, yeah, sometimes you do wander into, you know, across a private property line and have to correct yourself and come back. But there's this sort of inertial reckoning that you come about. You just take notice of landmarks and trees and streams and hilltops and particular rocks even, and you find your way after a while.
So this weekend, if you feel like getting out, what would be your suggestion? What are we in prime time for?
By all means, get out on Lake Erie. This is just prime perch season. We're having a banner year with it. Everywhere from Rocky River to Ruggles Beach in 28 to 31 feet of water, they're just slaying them. Stay north of the bar in Lorain. You'll do fine. Emerald Shiners are back. We had a little problem with the full moon there for a couple days, but almost every shop has them. If you like fishing at all, get out there on the lake this weekend. Here's a secret tip, so don't tell anyone. Vermilion has crappie right now.
Now, how do you know that?
See, I shouldn't even say
that.
See,
because I'm wondering, is there's like the secret network, or there's a whole Facebook friends, you know, maybe using the technology, or they heard this guy says, I know that, or so-and-so Bob's been hanging out at this area, we got to see what he's doing. I mean.
Well, Bruce, the other day I got out, I got up early, I, for some reason, drank coffee on my way to Sandusky and started this coffee fest that went across the North Coast. I went to every bait shop I could find from Sandusky to Bad Boy Bait in Vermilion and ended up out at Erie Outfitters in Sheffield Lake, just hit across Lorain, Huron, Vermilion, everywhere, shaking hands, getting to know the fishermen, listening to the fish stories, meeting people, and hearing this kind of tip. So I think I'm the best informed person on the North Coast as to where they're biting.
So then what are you doing here talking to us? Aren't you itching to be out there somewhere?
You got to work sometimes, you know. I would be.
When do you find time to start, I guess, with this outdoor page? How does that work for you?
Well, I don't know. I probably go through 200 emails a week between the people in the production end and layout and Tom Mall and myself. I see Tom several times a week. We went out fishing for perch just 2 days ago here. It's part of your lifestyle. I fit it in whenever I can. Sometimes it's late nights. I know I sent in last week's column at 12:13 a.m., but it's constantly on my mind. So writing about it is just comes naturally.
Do you see there's still an insurgence with people for outdoors? Is it still a youth movement? Is there young people that are still enjoying that, or do they all want to be attached to some sort of device? And
personally, I see a lot of young people who are enthusiastic about it, but sadly, that's not the trend. There was a survey recently that said, compared to the people who grew up 1985 to 2005, 20% fewer people go fishing. And we're not talking about hunting or trapping or something extreme, just fishing. 20% fewer people have gone fishing in their lifetime. I find that really sad. And we need to reconnect with what I think is our roots. You know, anyone who's ever been fishing, get a kid out there, go take them. Go to one of the Metro Parks ponds, Duck Pond, French Creek. They all have great places to fish.
I think anybody who has ever been fishing has that memory stuck in their brain, whether it was just one time, part of the time, maybe it was just a stick on a string with a hook, and you know the whole thing had to do with, I see the fish and never got it, but I was always looking for it. Or I remember throwing the bobber in. You know, we had one of those, and you're just waiting for it to move, and you never knew if you caught something on the ground, you know, underneath, whether it was you know, trash that was stuck down there, but there was still some about that experience that sticks with you all these years.
And that's what makes it part of our, not just part of who we are, it's part of our heritage, you know, things that are passed down largely from our folks to us. Everyone thinks about the time Dad took them fishing or Grandpa took them fishing. Everyone's grandfather's a folk hero, and those memories, those stay with you. So don't hog those memories. Pass them on.
It's the Outdoor Page. It's a new page every Friday in the Chronicle-Telegram, and you can check it out today. It debuts. You can look at the color photographs, and I think that's what's great now with a lot of, over the generations, newspaper has been able to do color better, but now there's also the web aspect of it. So ChronicleT.com has other photographs. Though I don't know why you have to put a picture of a mayfly on here.
It's a beautiful picture.
Is that really? Do you want to see this mayfly?
If you live close to the lake, it's a reality.
I don't need a photograph. In fact, I've probably seen them the way we've gone. They land on we bring them back when we were at the festivals, and then they're in the studios
accidentally,
here for like a day or two.
Yeah, but isn't it? I mean, it's a beautiful picture of a mayfly. It's that kind of micro technology. Right.
Tom shot that on the side of a Pepsi machine in Sheffield Lake a couple years ago.
But is that where that blue glow comes from?
Isn't it beautiful?
Wow. That's funny. I look at the background. I thought it was on some kind of glass wall,
National Geographic
surface. It's
Life that, what was the Pepsi series on Discovery Life where they just took incredible photographs of, like frogs, and it's just amazing how close up they'd get.
Well, that's the thing. When you're out in nature, that's what you get to see. And I suppose you tried to not to be behind a lens too much or whatever, to see it in real life, in real time, and in front of you.
Oh, it's always an afterthought. I should take a picture of this.
What was the strangest thing that's ever landed on you while you've been sitting still?
I'm going to creep people out. There have been things landed on me.
At 10 miles.
I've had possums walk across my legs because I was sitting too still. One of the worst things is...
Wait, if a possum thinks you're sitting still, apparently this guy he's really good.
The animal that plays dead thinks I'm dead. I wanted to say about the online page, we've worked really hard on that, and it's a work in progress, too. You can be a part of it. I will be watching it like a red-tailed hawk. You can sign on, leave your comments there. We're putting up more photographs every day, more articles that don't have to do so much with this week's articles, but I'd love to hear from anyone. So go to chronicleT.com/outdoors and, hey, give us a buzz.
I'll bet also people have a lot of questions because there isn't another resource that's just readily available for, say the casual outdoors person. The things that we're talking about today.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Constantly. I have people asking me questions about that. And a lot of the time it's opinion, and I hate to have an opinion or contradict somebody else's opinion, but a lot of folks just don't have square one to start with when it comes to the outdoors. and it's so easy to come by. I'm always glad to talk to folks wherever I am. You can stop me on a street corner or you can find me online. I'm glad to answer questions.
We'll be talking with you in the future. I know there's so many things. In fact, one of the things, maybe even Tom, we could sometimes talk to Tom Mall, but how to get that good winning fish photograph. you know, people get a fish, right? And they hold it up or whatever. And it's like, there's only one way to do it, or it seems like everybody does it. And it doesn't always do the fish justice.
The age of digital photography. You shoot 200 frames and hope for a good one somewhere in there.
But it's the outdoor page. It's in the Chronicle Today debuts. You can check it out also at chronicletea.com/outdoors. We enjoyed our chat this morning. We're coming to an end. I hate this is like Sunday, right after the weekend's over with.
It's been fun, yeah.
You're thinking it's time to wrap it up and get back to business, but
I get to go fishing, so I don't know what you're thinking about.
Well, that's true. Well, let's see, you've got an extra space in your vehicle for us this afternoon. Aaron Scarborough joining us today. Thank you for stopping in.